on the air.
Welcome to another message from Fish Lake Valley and DiscoverTheWord.com Ministries. From Discover the Word Missionary Baptist Church. For a long time, I've had a burden on my heart to try to inform people about the Word of God and how important the Word of God is. The Word of God is extremely important. The Word of God is that which founds you in faith and practice and truth. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is eminently, terribly necessary. Satan, with all of his mysterious ways, at times he imitates God. At times he does things to get people away from believing in the gospel and the person of Jesus Christ, with a personal relationship with him that is necessary if you want to go to heaven and be with God. There are many religions in the world. Just because a person is religious, it doesn't mean you're going to go to heaven. In the 1970s, I was asked to write a bachelor's thesis in Brother Martin Kahneman, Dr. Martin Kahneman's class. And I wrote one on the near cult. And it was a brief message, a brief essay of about 10,000 words or so. And when he read that, he said, "This is fantastic." He said, "You need to do your master's or your doctor's thesis on this." Well, my next degree to get was my master's thesis. My doctor's thesis was on the book of Revelation. I had been raised in Pentecostal churches. I had gone to tent meetings in the 1940s and 1950s. With A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, many of the fantastic, fabulous evangelists of the day. The word evangelist does not apply to these people. But they call themselves the voice of healing, as A.A. Roberts or A.A. Allen was with, and the A.A. Allen's evangelical or evangelistic association. People get a very twisted, distorted idea of God. We have great churches in the land in Christendom. Catholicism, Mormons. We could go into each and every one of these in detail. But the problem is they don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's something else or something mixed with it. The person of God is very much confused. Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses that are not Jehovah's Witnesses, Buddhism, Islam. All of these religions have a gospel. They got a different gospel and a different hell and a different God so many times. In Acts, the second chapter, where we are in my studies in Acts from the Greek language, the book of Acts from Greek, I came to the second chapter and I have this burden again placed on my heart to read this essay. I've had it on the website for years, the Near Cult and the bookstore. And you can make a donation for that and get it. Many people that have just made donations, I send all the books that I have there in ebook to them. If they support, I send them. If they do make a large donation, they get everything. I just start emailing it and they can download it. Because I know they're earnest in studying God's Word. If they give like that, then I know they're serious about God and His Word. Because that's all I have to offer you, is God's Word. I don't have anything else. Now, Baptists have been accused of not believing and not preaching the gospel, the whole gospel, the full gospel. I will say this, that those charismatic churches do not preach the full gospel of God. They don't preach the gospel many times at all. I thank God for some that do, but they are few and far between. Because all of it is about miracles, 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 miracles. Now, in this essay, this master's thesis that I wrote, I'm not going to read everything in it. Because a lot of it is details about so-called fake healings, and I don't want to bother you with any of that. We're going to get right down. I'm going to read to you exactly what it's about. We're going to go into the Marilyn, what do you want?
Put your microphone closer.
Marilyn, it's perfect. We're going to go into the absolute details of what the gifts were, all of them. During the early part of America's history, there is the beginning of this movement under the name of Shakers and Fire Baptized Methodist. These are very mysterious cults with big mystery and big secrets behind them and flashy and show, in which the leaders were women too. Nearly all of these had women. Mary Ellen White, woman that started this, the Seventh-day Adventist. I once said that, God doesn't want women to be preachers. And yet, you should be preachers personally. But anytime you have a woman preacher, you're going to have heresy in your hands. The Bible says women are to be good teachers, examples to their husbands and to their children. And to teach children, not to pastor churches. A pastor is supposed to be a man, a male. In the Shaker religion, it was a cult in which the leaders were all women. And all the adherents to this cult were forbidden to marry. There you have problems. Just like the Catholic Church in 1123 A.D., they invented the doctrine of celibacy. It has caused nothing but trouble because God does not make a man and woman for themselves. Paul said some people are born eunuchs. Some people are made eunuchs by other men. Some people make themselves eunuchs. But that's not natural. It's not natural. A woman and a man have a natural attraction to each other. And it's not men and men and women either. This cult forbid their women to marry. As this cult was making its way through communities, many of the ungodly practices of these people were brought to light. The Shakers finally became an isolated people, starting their own community and living in Shakertown, Kentucky. My house here that I live in here in Nevada has shaker, what we call shaker deco in it, the cabinets and everything. Faith Healer's another evangelist, and I say the word evangelist, they don't have the good news of Jesus Christ. Of the emotional kind started making their way across America during the late 1700s and early 1800s. That's when America had the freedom of religion. So here they come, the devil's group. Many communities simply ran these people out of their towns because of the so-called healers and had seduced a proverbial farmer's daughter so many times and carried her away. Then she'd end up back with mom and dad with some illegitimate child to raise. The Methodist denomination began to civilize the uncivilized religion, the so-called. Many so-called fire-baptized Methodist churches sprang up across America. Later, such people as Amy McPherson, and this is the Four Square Gospel people, you know, Four Square churches. A.A. Allen, Asa Alonzo Allen. I heard him preach many, many times. I saw people go up there and come back if they weren't healed. And I know many of them that weren't healed, but they all, on the stage, they were healed. They had frogs and crawdads cast out of them as they would crawl across the floor. Somebody would happen to palm one out there. People would scream and squeal. It was a sideshow, a carnival. A.A. Allen, the voice of healing. A.A. Allen Evangelistic Association. A.A. Allen died of alcoholism, acute alcoholism, when he was 59 years old in San Francisco in the Jack Tar Hotel. Many of these people tried to cover it up. But that's what he was casting demons out of people, doing all kinds of things, but he was an alcoholic. Alcoholism is not something you do as a child of God, alcohol. I don't drink any alcohol at all. Jesus drank wine. I wanted to tell you that, but he was not an alcoholic. And if drinking a little wine is a sin, then Jesus was not our Savior. But he was. And drinking a little wine is not sin. It's drinking like A.A. Allen did and my uncles I was raised up with alcoholism that I saw. People in DTs and alcoholic the tremors. These people were on radio and some on television. Of course, we know Oral Roberts was on television, Jimmy Swaggart, Jimmy Baker, all these wealth and wellness preachers, the health and wellness gospel. And then we have people today. We'll go into this, but that preach a psychological message. They will use the Bible, but they don't preach the gospel. Make people feel better, but carry you away. Give you false hopes. Pie in the sky now. These people were spreading out their tents and robbing thousands of people of their hard-earned money. I saw it. You could turn on your radio and hear your favorite radio charismatic evangelist proclaiming many instances of miracles and how exciting it was to talk to God in ecstatic prayer language. Well, of course, all of these evangelists needed money. And when a person would send $5, of course you'd get $500 back or $5,000 back. In 1906, in Los Angeles, California, on Azusa Street, catapulted the charismatic movement worldwide. The Azusa Street Revival . It is said the fire department came out because flames were coming out of the house where they were meeting. Flames. Like on the day of Pentecost. William J. Seymour, African-American preacher, born in 1870 and died in 1922, I believe. Went from church to church, talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost and how the Holy Ghost would come upon a person and they would speak in languages, heavenly languages. We're going to go into that, what the Bible really says about that. The revival started in April the 9th, 1906. He was invited to come to a Methodist church in Los Angeles, California, and preach. And he got up there and he preached the charismatic movement. He preached talking in tongues and healing. He didn't preach the gospel. Next day he came to go back and preach in that church, and they had put a padlock on the door. He wasn't invited anymore. He went into a house from one of the church members' houses and he began to preach. To preach the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They would pray and pray and pray and pray. And they all had an experience. Some fantastic experience. People, the deaf were healed, the blind saw, sometimes the dead were raised. We have seen side shows all over. I remember one time a preacher, I won't even say his name, but a family brought a little dying child that was only like a couple of months old to one of his services. He said, bring me the child up here. He was quite a character. And he took that child and threw it against the wall. And it fell off the wall. He went over there and took it and kicked it like a football. Then he took it and threw it back out in the audience in his mother and father's arms. And said, it's healed now. Well, I saw things like that. This revival started in, I don't know what you call a revival, Azusa Street Revival. It was called a revival, but what was it? What the practicing, what the prophets of Baal had done on Mount Carmel? Yes. They talked in tongues. Muslims talk in tongues. Catholics talk in tongues. Buddhists talk in tongues. All of these cults, Mormons talk in tongues. That's what they were seeking. They were seeking this. Talking in tongues. And slaying in the spirit. People would just fall out and go into a trance. One of my uncles was a catcher in the charismatic church. He stood behind a person when the pastor would slam somebody on the head and they'd fall out and he'd catch them and put them on the floor. People have good intentions with this faith healing, and it's like white magic or white witchcraft or even voodoo sometimes. These people practice this. Voodoo does this. Voodoo talks in these ecstatic languages, the practitioners of voodoo. The revival continued to about 1909, but actually went on to 1915. Now, people from all over the world were coming here. There was a little Russian boy by the name of Efim Klubnikin. He was a prophet in Russia. And he prophesied. And he told the Armenian people and all the charismatics all over the world that they needed to go to Los Angeles, California, to escape the great genocide that would happen in Armenia or Turkey, which it did. Millions of people were murdered there because they were Christians. Many Pentecostals. This little boy, about 8 to 10 years old, and by the way, there's a lot of boy prophets. Billy Roberts, I knew him. He was a boy prophet and a boy evangelist until he was saved. Out of the charismatic movement, he wrote a book about that, which I have. Actually, I think it's even on the website. This little boy, Klubnikin, he was born in 1842. And they were of a Pentecostal type. Many of these people became Mullikens. Mullikens. Mullikin means the milk drinkers. Because under the Russian Orthodox, they won't drink milk during certain festivals and holy times. Well, they did. They drank milk. They call them the milk drinkers, or those that love milk. Now, what do? They talk in tongues. They will not baptize you by dipping you or water or sprinkling or anything like that. They say the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the only baptism you're going to have. You don't need to be baptized. And they jump, and they shout, and they raise their hands up, and they dance around in their churches. And this boy prophet, this Klubnikin boy, prophet prophesied all of these things about Armenia and everything, how they needed to leave out, and how people needed to go to Los Angeles. When he was 12 years old. That's not the gospel, people. The Azusa Street Revival was a great catapult, the great fire that spread across the world. As in the days of Israel on Mount Sinai, people wanted a God they could see and a religion they could feel. These people were not satisfied with a Bible and a God that you worship in spirit and truth. In John 4:24, it says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Where does the truth come from? In the charismatic movement, all these experiences that they have, where is the boundary line in this extra-biblical revelation? Where is the boundary? What boundary do you have? Is my experience not valid? And yours is? They say they see things, they die and come back, they've seen hell, they've seen heaven, all of these things. Why should a person study spiritual gifts in the Bible? Many people have asked me about spiritual gifts and what I believe about them. God commanded through Peter that a person should be able to give a man a reason, an answer for concerning his faith. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, and in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you." These people don't want a hope, they want the pie in the sky right now. And another thing I want to state right now, healing is not in the atonement. Healing is not an atonement, and we'll look into that a little bit later. Give an account, a reason for the hope that is in you, and yet with gentleness and reverence. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14 and Ephesians chapter 4, there are some very plain teachings concerning spiritual gifts. In these chapters, the gifts are listed, and the purpose of these gifts, and the longevity of the gifts is described. Here's a list of all the gifts that were placed in the Lord's churches. And God has appointed in the church first apostles. The first gift placed in the church was apostles, and that was during the ministry of Jesus Christ. Second, prophets. Third, teachers, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations of various kinds of tongues. Why did the church need all of this? Because they didn't have the instruction manual yet, the Bible. So they needed all this. And we're going to look at each word from the original language and see what it meant. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of languages. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers were a gift. They didn't have any Bible to preach from except the Old Testament. And through them, we received the New Testament. Evangelists, pastor. But now abides faith, hope, and love. And these three, but the greatest of these is love. We have faith now. We have hope now. But that which will hold us through all eternity is love. After listing the gifts, a person must look at each gift and understand why the gift was given to the Lord's churches. God has never done things out of order. He doesn't do everything by accident. He doesn't do everything by emergency planning. He has a plan and order for everything he's done. The word apostolos. Apostolos comes from apostello. Apo means from and stello means a sin. From two Greek words, a preposition and a verb, which means one sent out with authority. Joseph Thayer says, a delegate and messenger, one sent forth with orders. Divine or very important authority. The office of apostle was very important during the early life of the Lord's churches, according to Luke 6, 12 through 16. And it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God, and it's talking about Jesus. And when day came, he called his disciples to him. And he chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called Zelot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, Judas, man from Kerioth, who became a traitor. The apostles had special authority from God to guide God's churches until the completion of the Word of God. Many people are inconsistent on this point, for they admit that all three of these church gifts cease, except faith, hope, and love, but they leave John as an apostle until he died. He was an apostle, but his gift as an apostle ceased when he finally penned the last of God's word. Now, three and one make four, not three. To interpret scriptures correctly, a person must admit when John finished the last book of the Bible, he ceased being an apostle. I know that's totally a revelation to you, but let's see what the Word of God says about it. The Bible is all sufficient rule of faith and practice, or is it? Are these extra biblical messages and revelations and visions really from God, or is the Bible the full, final revelation of God? After it was completed, there was no more need for apostles. Prophets. Prophets were necessary to the early churches because they did not have the complete Word of God. The word prophetes translated prophet also means to speak forth. Now, in some way, I am a prophet because I'm speaking forth, but I'm not. I don't prophesy. Every religion has a prophet. Jehovah's Witnesses had a prophet. Charles Taze Russell, Judge Rutherford, and now the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Mary Ellen White was a prophetess, they say. Joseph Smith was a prophet. Brigham Young was a prophet. But were they? The Bible teaches that certain individuals had the ability to stand up and speak for God, bringing forth whatever message was necessary on that occasion. Looking that up on Thayer 5:53-54. Just as God has had his prophets, so does Satan have his prophets, does he not? This will be discussed more thoroughly under the gift of languages. The qualifications and guidelines of prophets of God are found in 1 Corinthians 14 and 5 and 31-33. Now I wish that you all spoke in languages, but even more that you would prophesy, and greater is one that prophesies than one who speaks in languages. Now, you go to churches, the charismatic churches, and they will have prophets there that will tell you what you're thinking, what you need, fortune tellers. Where did the fortune tellers come from? Paganism. The oracles of Delphi, the prophets of Baal, the Jewish tarot card and palm readers. This is what it's about. Now, I'm not saying that they can't tell prophecy sometimes, because spirits that work with them know all kinds of things. I'm not talking about the Spirit of God, now I'm talking about other spirits. Other spirits will lead you away from God and His revealed final word. His final revelation, the Bible. Do you believe the Bible to be God's final word? Or is there still revelation to go? Is the Bible not finished? He said, one who prophesies and one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may receive some edifying. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And people say the Spirit took hold of me and overcame me. And I fell out, I did this, I did that, whatever. Now, the Spirit of God does lead people in their lives. This message is, to me, is put on my heart by the Spirit of God. I get up and preach sometimes, and God calls to my mind different things to say in a message from what I've already learned from God's Word. Nothing's new. The Word of God is solid and set in stone. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The word teacher, didaskalos, is derived from didasko, which means to I teach. One who is fitted and equipped to teach. The first teachers in the churches had to be inspired teachers. Now you want to teach the Word of God, you've got to study the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. I don't just get a message when I get into the pulpit. Do I, Marilyn?
No.
I study. I study a lot. I study always. Even when I'm out there driving nails, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. I hope I don't hammer my finger or something. What I'm going to preach. This was on my heart all day long as I drove probably 5 pounds of nails trying to build the shop up here. One of us fitted or equipped to teach. Inspired teachers were very necessary to build the Lord's churches before the completion of the Word of God and the Bible. We have teachers today that are dedicated and educated in the Word of God and bring God's truth to us every week. But during the apostle times, the teachers had to depend entirely, almost entirely, on the Word, the inspiration from God. Moses spoke what God told him to do. Paul spoke what God inspired him to. Peter, James, and John, and Matthew, and Mark, and Luke. We have Matthew through Revelation in the New Testament. Isn't that enough? Is that enough? Or do you want something poured in your head? Extra biblically. Number four, the gift of miracles, dynamis, means strength, ability, and power. Power residing in a person to show forth authority from God, to show forth that what he was saying was God's word. The miracles were for one purpose, to prove that the prophet was true. What he was saying was true. Peter, James, and John, all of these, they healed people. Paul healed people to prove that they were sent from God. They were apostles. They were sent from God. But after we have the revelation, we don't need it. You got the Word of God. The same power that resurrected Jesus Christ, our word dynamite, is derived from this word. Many of the charismatic miracle workers today are always claiming that God has worked some great miracle for them because of their great trust and faith in God. Faith is a gift from God. It's something you don't muster faith. That's a gift of God. For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. The so-called miracle workers claim all kinds of miracles, from the filling teeth with the initials of the cross in the filling. Yep. Gas tanks being filled, broken legs being mended, short legs being lengthened, asthma cured, cancers being cured, polio victims healed, and in some cases even raised from the dead. It seems like the United States, I'm going to page number 23 of my thesis, the near call. It seems like the United States has been plagued with this type of people for the last 100 years or more. People need today to be fooled by such foolishness because they have the Word of God to judge all of these so-called evangelists and healers with. But reformed among many people, there are healing places you can go. This is nothing new, people. A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts. But you leave a little donation. A.A. Allen sent that offering plate around and around and around, and so did Oral Roberts around and around and around, and Jimmy Swaggart and Jimmy Baker. And Tammy. Matter of fact, he was sent to jail, prison, because he embezzled a lot of that. He wasn't going to God's work, he was going to his pocketbook and his dog houses and etc. People judge the Bible by their feelings, not their feelings by the Bible. People judge the Bible by their feelings, not the feelings by the Bible. By the Bible. We all have basically a Bible. Whether it's King James or whatever it is. New American Standard, the original Greek and Hebrew. I encourage you to look at that. New American Standard, Living Translation, Amplified Bible, which I use many times. These are all Bibles, but how you interpret that is different. You can say the same thing and read the same word, but it means totally something different to you than what the Bible is saying. We have a lot of cults in Islam. There is no such thing as a non-denominational church. That's not true. It's not possible. Everybody believes something. You're charismatic, you're Catholic, you're something. You have an origin, you have what you believe, and that's not non-denominational. True purpose of miracles was to confirm the Word of God. During Christ's ministry, the miracles were his messianic credentials. But during the canonization of the scriptures, these miracles were to confirm the Word of God. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was at first spoken to the Lord? It was confirmed to us by those who heard, Hebrews 2 and 3. Therefore, they spent a long time there speaking boldly and with reliance upon the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. Acts 4 and 3. Under the subject of miracles, or a more literal translation of this word, powers, the scriptures plainly teach that the purpose was not a simple display of power of God for amusement, but that these powers and miracles truly confirmed the living Word of God. I hope that this message has helped you today. This is only part one of the near cult. Many people that are true believers of God get caught up in movements and isms and theological fads. Base what you believe, what you practice, on the Word of God. The Word of God, not what somebody told you the Word of God says, but what the Word of God says. Who's speaking? Who's he speaking to? What's the subject? You can take the Bible and make it mean anything. The isms and cults have. Look at Islam. What they did to Jesus and Mary. And what they did to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Between Islam and Catholicism, they tried to stamp out and burn every scripture that was ever given. Yeah. Because what they were teaching, Catholicism and Islam, is not in the Word of God. I talk about the evolution of theology and of Catholicism and isms. Study church history. Study of miracles, to some extent, is church history. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for all those out there that you will deal with their hearts, that you'll open their minds to your word. Father, then it'll give them faith, and that faith will build them up in truth. The faith, the system of teaching that was given to once for all to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this message will open people's eyes to what they practice and what they believe. The Bible's not a Ouija board, as you know. Not something we just point our finger to. Oh, this is what I need right now. And that was God teaching them that. No, we know better than that, Father. We need to look at the Word of God as your Word, not ours, not as a quick fix, but as the Word, the living Word of God. I pray, Father, if there's one out there that does not know you and your Son, that they will come to you and flee to from cults and isms and believe that your Son came, that he died on the cross, that he was raised, and that he died for our sins and was raised for our justification forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray. Please forgive me where I failed you. Amen.